Welcome to the Gatecast.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
We're off to see the wizard.
Lucy, I'm home.
I have not to see.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and welcome back to Gatecast after what I suppose will be a considerable hiatus. The last episode you probably listened to, which would have been uploaded at the same time as this one, was The Enemy Within with Kowalski and that wonderful mention of the snake mode in the transcript that we're using thanks to Gate World Wiki. Thank you, Gate World Wiki, for freely providing this, and we are no way associated with them. They're not sponsoring us, they're not giving us money. Of course, if they want to give us money, they can. My Amazon wish list is up. But that was with my former recording partner, Scott, and now the designated Gatecast web monkey. Good web monkey. Get banana. We're operating now on, I suppose, a lot of people's least favourite episode from the first few in season one, which is Emancipation. If I can hand over to my co-host and general sort of provider of random babble and vamping where necessary, Mike. Mike?
Hi, Alan. Hello, everybody. Mike from joining in this Stargate podcast. Emancipation. I actually watched this episode after, what, 8-9 years since watching the first one, and it wasn't as bad as I remembered. Surprised to say that. You actually watched it since?
No, I'm reading the transcript and rummaging through the vaults, and the somewhat dusty and alcohol-stained vaults of my memory.
Yeah, I was quite surprised how much better it was. Maybe because some of the elements seem more relevant to today's society than it did 10 years ago.
Is this a, what's your context?
The religious aspect, really. The society that's in Emancipation. It's a bit. I wouldn't claim to be any expert on it. It has some elements of Muslim tradition, religion, a kind of a caste system, that females as second-rate citizens, veils and all that sort of thing.
We do have, coming into the episode and staring merrily at the transcripts, we do have a classic O'Neill line as the opener.
What a mess.
This temple was destroyed long ago.
Let's get a move on before we meet somebody who remembers why.
The first three lines, they emerge into a sort of ruined temple, and Teok observes the temple was destroyed long ago, and Neil comes back with, let's get a move on before we meet somebody who remembers why.
Okay, then, are we just following the transcript then, or are we going to play the actual episode?
To play the actual episode, I would have to put the episode in to my DVD player.
Yeah, that's something I was doing during those 2 minutes.
I see. Way ahead of me there. You have to bear with us, folks, while we sort of amateurly, while I amateurly faff about. Mike, as you can see, has been professional. Actually allowed for some degree of preparation, but by doing something unthinkable and actually watching the episode before we record.
I know, it totally throws you out, doesn't it?
It does, you have knowledge. Which means you can vamp while I pull up the DVD player.
I don't want to vamp, though. I mean, I was all ready to talk about The Last Commandment. I watched that yesterday.
Sorry?
I was all ready to talk about The Last Commandment, which I watched yesterday.
Was that episode 4?
Was it 5? Episode 5, isn't it?
Well, that depends if you count Children of the Gods as 1 or 2 episodes.
That's true, yeah.
Actually, no, it is episode 5, because we attempted to record what was ultimately a complete travesty, which was the Brocket Divide.
Yeah.
Which we will do again.
That good job I've kept my notes.
Definitely didn't record. Has now been committed to the annals of history, and faint rumour and the occasional drunken discussion if we ever actually physically meet.
It must be on some server at GCHQ, surely.
Quite possibly, but not unless we mention certain keywords.
Yeah.
Helps if you also add the word Centex. Of course, I'll definitely have this one. Okay, I'm playing the episode now, and we're seeing, as I've said, character running out of the gate on her own, which of course saves a lot of CG.
Right, so which part of Vancouver do you think this is?
I'm not sure it's Vancouver, it could be British Columbia.
Isn't Vancouver in British Columbia?
That's a very good question.
I always thought it was.
Please clarify.
I could be wrong, I've never been to Canada.
It's green and it's got a lot of trees, you know?
Yes.
Unless a wolverine comes leaping out of them, I'm not entirely sure. Ah, here we have the first appearance of Abu. Well, to clarify, I'm at 54 seconds. 58, 59, 1 minute if you're on the court, mate. The dogs are attacking Abu. Are you anywhere near there, or are you going forward?
Right, I'm there. I'm with you. Lovely dog is, young lad, tribal dress.
Yes, the transcript identifies as Abu.
Abu.
As opposed to Apu. And I'm not sure, given that The Simpsons probably predated this episode significantly, it could have been inspired. We have a guy who looks somewhat mongoloid, for want of a better word.
Yep.
With that fetching orange and blue striped hat.
It's a good hat.
How is it that Dan manages to make a pair of sort of standard issue goggles for military use look geeky?
He does look a picture, doesn't he?
We're definitely playing to our geek audience here.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, the helmet's just too big for him for a start, isn't it?
Yep. I mean, how the hell can he hear anything? His ears are covered.
Oh, Jack, does he look young?
Hmm?
Doesn't O'Neill look young?
Well, weren't O'Neill young?
He was back then, but...
No, I can't look at you. Some of them look unshaven. We have stubbly O'Neill. As I might have mentioned in the previous podcast, although I haven't because the previous podcast didn't record. Oh yes, here we have Abu's reaction to character.
Raga.
Oh. Oh God, she's a female and she's...
Look at the hand. Look at the hand.
Yes. Talk to the hand. We have three horsemen.
This is good news.
So presumably these are pestilence, hunger and famine. Or
just the three.
Yes. The fourth horseman being called away on an urgent errand to fetch some milk.
Or have a curry.
Yes, quite.
That started urgent. So well, stop.
I'm sorry, somebody has just MSN'd me.
Ooh.
Ooh, blades are drawn. Arrows.
Oh, no messing about. That's a big sword.
More of a machete, really, stylistically speaking.
It'll still cut you.
Yeah, the credit sequence, which I only noticed, and I've said this on previous gatecasts, all two of them, or three of them. This credit sequence is different to the one which Sky One showed in syndication.
Yeah.
So to any British listeners we have, they're probably familiar with the Sky One episode. Did Channel 4 show this for a while?
Stargate, yeah.
It started first. I think to our probably single Irish listener, I believe they, RT used to show this at like 2 a.m. on a Thursday. It was going to come in from the pub and watch Stargate.
Yeah, Sky One had it on 8 p.m. in the evening.
Well, didn't Sky One have it on at 5 p.m.? Oh, you mean when they were talking weekly rather than daily?
Oh yeah, daily repeats in the afternoon and sometimes in the mornings. when the season premiered, it got an 8 p.m. time slot. I actually
On a Monday or a Tuesday, I think.
Tuesday, I think it was. I think Sky One had the Showtime titles. The DVDs I've got have got the syndicated ones. The lots of CGI and blue.
Jack's eye. As
yeah,
the,
that's it.
Sarah
that's
Gates
the one. Song. Yeah. Yeah, Sky One had the Egyptian titles for most of the.
Let me say, on about you. These men, these people have weapons which can fire far faster than an arrow can fly, or what's that effect?
I would think so. But perhaps they've watched Star Trek too much, you know. They come in peace.
One is a woman, I'm at that point in the transcript. And they're like observing bunch. It's just, I mean, O'Neill doesn't even have to say much, it's just such a goal. Oh, as a point of interest, I have hit Control F on the transcript, and I have not been able to find the word indeed. So, in introduction, this episode's indeed count is at zero.
Oh, what a pity.
Which gives us a total indeed count for the season so far of zero. And if someone is obsessive compulsive enough and we continue recording long enough, if they can get within... I'd like people to start guessing now. On the season total indeed count. You must learn our ways. And I'm expecting a few wild guesses, and don't go going through all 22 transcripts and sort of counting them yourself.
Yes, that would be cheating.
That would be sad.
But very geeky.
In math geeky sort of way, but still sad. But let me try, I have about 15 windows open here. We're in the village now. And there was the episode title.
A llama.
Sorry?
Is that a llama? Was that a llama?
A llama.
Yeah. I didn't notice it when I watched the episode last week, but it looked like a llama. Which would be fitting, but probably borrowed from a local petting zoo or something.
Oh, a llama. Sorry.
A llama. Yeah, a llama. Llama, llama.
We have various women in headdresses and facial veils and so on. And now they're in a tent. So I presume we've gone from outside to in studio set with a obligatory matte painting in the background. In fact, I can almost see the little line where the matte painting ends and the fake grass begins in the studio.
It's a nice solid looking tent though.
It is a nice solid looking tent. It's not billowing at all. And it's,
no.
I mean, outside shock gave the impression it was on top of a bloody hill or something. You'd think the walls will at least be moving slightly in a breeze.
Please sit. Now you may talk.
But, yes, we have old grey-haired elder who, of course, in my version of this, would be dead about 10 minutes in.
Take no prisoners.
Speaking personally... I would prefer the original version of Jurassic Park, because in the book, the kids died. They got eaten by velociraptors in the kitchen.
Do they?
Yep.
I've read the book, but like I say, I wouldn't take much notice of it anyway. It was a long book.
You're trying to forget that you're reading it?
Could be. Could be. I read it after the movie.
I do know that from a housemate of mine went to see the third Jurassic Park, as we digress, Mary. And came back out, went to the manager of the cinema, and said, "That was really awful. Can I have my money back, please?" He felt he hadn't been entertained and he wanted a refund.
All I can remember about that film was the dog getting it.
The third one? I didn't see the third one.
You haven't seen it?
No. I have too much good stuff to watch.
Well, this was on telly. I didn't actually make an effort.
I don't watch a lot of telly. I have a sort of home-built Sky Plus box, which I just say, record that and that and that, and then I sit down on a free and watch my own private TV channel. It's my version of TV on demand.
Yeah.
Except I don't have to download it, because I've got aerials on me, as it were. O'Neill seems cheerful. Now, what did O'Neill say just before he clapped Carter on the shoulder there?
Was Sam saying she was not an anthropologist? Yeah. and Jack gives the big smile, "You are today," and sends her to converse with the women of the camp, while the menfolk go and look at their drugs.
Go and get pissed, don't they?
Well, business first.
Oh, piss later?
Yeah. Yeah, the natives, so they've got some good herbal medicines, so they're looking to trade.
Well, this is your classic sort of, this is the reason we haven't wiped them out 20 minutes ago.
Oh, this, Sam.
Yes, if you show me an anthropologist that wears this, I'll eat this headdress. In my original recording of this episode, they did actually drop that audio in. I'm not going to be dropping audio in for now. I think a combination of episode and transcript seems to be keeping us relatively on topic, despite flagrant attempts to digress.
I do try.
It should also, additionally, keep us relatively timed. If you follow me.
Yeah, I understand.
Take a long time. I mean, like, I've tried to keep my assorted podcasts, with the exception of the Drunken Discworld dissertation, that's Phasecast 6, I think, folks. Recorded at the 06 Discworld.com. I didn't record anything at the 08.com. I will probably be too busy to record anything at the 010, but I'll see. 010? Can I say 010?
010? Yeah, we all know what you mean. I don't get too worried about semantics or anything like that. If we have to come next year's, that works as well. Well, the costume seems to have made an impression on the guys.
Yeah.
I wonder where she keeps her gun.
Oh, you really don't want me thinking like that. Okay, and the transcripts on my exterior village night, are we? No, we're not there yet. We don't really get any hints of,
You gonna be alright?
Still doubting me?
But this is something, by the way, I have issues with.
You look great.
So yeah.
I'm reading here. O'Neill sort of, being playful with, clearly flirting with.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt that he likes her.
Yeah, but I mean, for the love of God. 8 seasons, eh? Come on.
Hey, he's a commanding officer.
I know, but shit, I got off the pot. Although there's a flashback scene, so anyway, that would be spoiling. And here we have a completely flagrant and unnecessary shot character. Oh, come on, who was?
It was a slow pan up her upper torso.
Yeah.
That's quite violent little scene, this is.
Yeah, and the other thing is, Carter is a trained combat veteran.
Yeah, which she proves later in the episode.
Two primitives with a knife would not be able to kidnap her. She'd beat 7 shades of shit out of them.
At the very least, react accordingly, you know, and then look for an opportunity.
Yeah.
By the time she got to the wall of the tent, she would have disarmed one or more, both on them.
And probably stuck knife in the other one.
Yeah.
Now, the only conclusion I can come to is the gag had some form of chloroform or sort of Mongo herbal equivalent on it, and it made her woozy.
Could be. They made the
me being generous to the writers.
Well, they made the point about the drugs and the anesthetic effect of it. Well, that's a reasonable assumption, if you need a reason for it.
I needed a reason.
You do need a reason.
I do.
You do. So the young lad has kidnapped Sam, and he's going to take her somewhere.
Yes, Carter's like, I'm a human being, not property. It does, I suppose that's why some people don't like it. It does kind of lay the lesson down a little heavy.
Yeah, they slap it on real thick, don't they?
It's really sort of a... It's almost TNG level of morality, which I found generally Stargate doesn't resort to. There is some level of it, but I mean, it's done in a clever and funny fashion, whereas, I'm sorry, looking back on Next Generation, I was delighted to see it pop up, but this is going to get me... This is probably going to get me peeled of hate mail, but I don't care. All hate mail should be sent to feedback at gatecast.com or feedback at facecast.com. Preferably the second one, since the first one just bounced. But the heavy moralizing of TNG just got on my nerves after about three seasons. Whereas Stargate, I think, sort of takes a more subtle approach. Unfortunately, not in this episode.
No.
Some people dislike it because it is a little heavy-handed, and it jars a bit from the way things have been set up in Children of the Gods and Enemy Within. My son has betrayed me as well. You've got a little too much respect for the writers to believe this heavy-handed. You get the impression perhaps this came as a result of studio notes.
It could be. I mean, so early on in the production, the money men would have a huge input into the show, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the writer, I'm just having a look, Catherine Powers, she wrote a hell of a lot of Stargate episodes. So it's not as if it was a one-off.
Mm. Oh, Red Cows. I'm not keen on Red Cows, a brief digression, shock enough. But driving down the West Coast through Clare, but actually driving up the West Coast through Clare on up through Galway, and we stopped in part of Clare, and you know, again we had those red cows, and then we came across some black and white ones, and I looked at them and went, ah yes, cow coloured cows.
cows
should be to keep this geeky, cows should be the same colour as they were on the boxes of that computer company, which is now defunct, I think. Did Compaq eat them?
Which company were that?
Gateway.
Oh, Gateway.
Gateway had cow-coloured boxes.
Did they?
Yep. Back in my
I never bought anything from them.
No, nor did I, but I was aware of their existence.
Well, you're in the IT business, aren't you?
Yes.
No, so...
these past 13 years or so.
Yeah, so unless I actually went out and bought something from the company, I have no idea what packaging they use.
You're a geek. You should be aware of computers.
Yeah, but only not packaging.
That's geeky enough.
That could be it. You know, I'm happy with a big brown cobble box.
The mogul is fascinated by the sort of pale skin. I can't get out of blue. My friends will come after me. They have weapons
more powerful than you can imagine, and they won't hesitate. Silence! No. Don't look blue.
What colour do they look?
A dark green.
Dark green?
It could be dark green.
Can I be horrendous as sexist and say I never actually noticed what colour character's eyes were?
No.
Well, he's going to say it's strange. Oh, he's pissed off now. Yes, I'm going with full PG-13 on this one.
He looks a part, though. He's really, really, really hamming it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got Ricardo Montalban pecs as well. Well, he has, you know, wrap of corn pecs there. Look
at me. At this point, can I just say, come? Come, blue river stones. A shame in the new universe we're not going to get to see that.
We're not going to get to see any of the old stuff, are we, really? Are you satisfied? Sam actually looks quite scared there.
Name you. So you think?
And a bit defiant.
Maybe she's pretending to be scared.
Could be.
I don't think she's scared. I think she's planning on how she's going. Like a cat when you give her a bath, she's planning on how she's going to get out of this and know them for life.
Yeah. As soon as you turn your back, the claws are out.
Yep. So. Yeah.
So here we have the revelation. Why he's kidnapped Sam?
Yes, a completely non-Mongol-looking woman with almost entirely brown eyes. Basically, that looks like someone's done some of the, you know, sort of camo paint on her face to make it look darker, but she's probably someone they picked up off the streets of Vancouver.
Okay.
Can you come in getting a headdress and be an extra?
That's $50 an hour.
She looks a lot more westernized than the others.
She does, doesn't she? Yeah.
No. You know, how many Mongols can you get in downtown Vancouver? So? You will marry a chieftain. How does one advertise? You can do that in Canada. You can't do that in the States. It is done. A friend of mine, his uncle, was living in New York, and he was looking for a flatmate. off the apartment he was renting.
Yeah.
And he put there, like, wanted a single white professional non-smoker. And he thought he had to change the ad because he couldn't specify age, sex, gender, or race.
That's a... I can see the reasoning behind it, but it's not... doesn't make much common sense, does it?
No.
When you're looking for a roommate, you know, you're going to specify something you're comfortable with. Nothing racist or anything about it if you're looking for someone that's single or employed or under 50 because... or under 20 even, because you're under 20. Crazy world.
Yeah.
And smack. Ooh. And Sam gets it. Ooh, that's better.
And that,
that's,
and
better.
That,
that's better.
That's a look. That's a look. You're really going to regret that.
Yeah. You are not going to break a...
No, that's a look that says, I'm going to be feeding you your knobbly bits for breakfast. So.
Oh. Look at that. I'd love to see him tilt right up on that horse.
I don't think we've ever seen Teok on a horse.
I don't think we have.
Here's the point. Why are they on foot if the other guy's in horse?
They could only hire so many horses. And they didn't have the coconut idea like Monty Python did.
The other thing is, it seems bright and sunny and reasonably warm, and Teok appears to be sweating. Isn't the Mongol leader guy absolutely melted under a horse?
He must be.
I'm not going to keel over with heat stroke any moment. See, this is a, I don't know if this is a relevant discussion, if this is just us taking the piss out of the episode, or if the latter is the same thing as the former.
We make fun of it because we care. You know, this is our show, so we're allowed.
Of course, I believe, yes, yes, absolutely, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take the mick out of an episode like this, but I still enjoy watching it. It's like the sci-fi Saturday TV movies. The majority of them are really, really awful.
Mm-hmm.
But I love watching them because they're so bad. And if somebody comes up and says, oh, that's rubbish, I'm not going to watch it, I say, you watch it, you'll be entertained. You may not come away thinking you've seen great television, but you will be entertained.
It reminds me of something I will not repeat on the recording. I'll tell you after. What is he at now? Oh, is he going to go and steal your woman?
He's going to steal the woman.
The chief took Carter, but didn't give him the girl.
Well, he had only offered gold, wouldn't he? 300 weights of gold. Which sounds is a pretty good deal. But young
he's
love, what can you do?
He's more westernised than he is. So you can see she's got pale skin underneath the makeup. You will come.
I will wait for you by the temp tree. Yeah, like I say, it's not as if she's been stolen from another tribe. She's the chief's daughter, isn't she? Blood is blood. Unless he stole her mother from a different tribe. You know, in the land.
How far back do you go with that? Sort of, you stole your great-great-grandmother's sister.
Well, whenever they were... Yeah, you could go back forever. Good pose.
Once again, focusing on Carter's cleavage.
Yep.
Or maybe that's just me. Any female listeners want to comment on the amount of cleavage in this episode?
Well, we've had a bare male chest, so the female bit's quite restrained, isn't it, really?
It was a family show.
On Showtime? I don't think so.
You're just commenting on the first episode, the pilot.
Yeah, but if someone says, oh, it's on Showtime, unless it's at 11 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't even consider anything they make as family-friendly. Although, perhaps I just haven't seen their family entertainment.
Well, I suppose the only Showtime show I'm personally familiar with as a Showtime show is Dexter, which is about as far from family-friendly as you can get.
I think... have you seen Odyssey 5? I think that was Showtime.
Yeah, it really irritated me the way it just died.
It did come to an abrupt end.
It came to an extremely abrupt end. I was like, what? Crap! What happens now? Give me a TV movie. Give me something.
Yeah, we'd probably get that nowadays, but back then, no.
That's something that really irritated me, for things that were cut off suddenly, and hopefully we still have a chance of reviving it. But Primeval was cancelled.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
And, I mean, talk about bloody cliffhangers. That looks like
sorry, I'm distracted again.
Quite possibly... Oh, you can see the back strap there. She dropped the mushrooms. You've been sampling the mushrooms. Are they shrooms? It's a question.
Oh, they've got a nice now. You'll be careful if you sit down with that. Cut yourself. Knife into a waistband. You can't make an escape dress like that, can you, really? Although she's making a damn good effort.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting point is, how the hell do you mount a horse wearing that? I mean, there's no way for the outside look to the dress.
You wouldn't have thought you were wearing...
It looks very too restricted for her.
Yeah. And when she jumped on, it turned out they were actually trousers you were wearing.
Yeah.
It's quite progressive for that age. Luckily, the guards were out there waiting for her. Or she rode past them, that they were defending the village. Guarding the village.
These were responsible for you. Now, because of you, they will be punished.
He's mad.
Yeah, he's going to what?
Oh. That's it. Beat the missus.
No. It was my fault. If you need to beat a woman to feel like a man, try me.
I value spirit in my horses, not my women.
At least you knew what... Oof. Yep. Forceful, aggressive, masculine.
Why is probably Neiman in the fog? Seriously.
I heard what you did for my mother.
You can understand why at that time period in his society he was the leader, though. You know, he don't mess about, does he?
If you do not obey, my father will kill you.
I know.
My father's a good man.
I see now, Sam's got rid of the fancy dress and into normal, everyday clothes.
Is there an implication that something happened there? Do we think
you wonder why she changed, don't you?
Yeah, do we think now that Sam actually did the deed with...
No. You could think that, but I reckon he'd smack her around a bit more anyway. I think that's the sort of character he's playing. It's like, without the violence, it's not important to him. He's not a considerate lover. Well, at least I wouldn't have thought he was. Well, at least they're friends now.
The tracks lead directly there. Who owns the place?
I think I'm in the same point in the transcript. Yep, I am.
A man who kills for pleasure. This is very bad.
Well, then we'll go in and get her out tonight.
For your attack.
We have Mogul. Mogul? Did you say that's name is Mogul?
Mogul. Let's see, where am I?
For a hack guy. Him.
Him, the Mogul leader.
Yeah, but in the transcript, M-O-U-G-H-A-L.
Mogul.
Unless he wasn't actually given the name and they just decided to call him that in the transcript.
Could be.
He cannot refuse.
But what will happen to Dr. Card tonight if we wait?
Turgon will partake in his...
They're discussing when to go, and O'Neill, who clearly does... I mean, how much of this from O'Neill is, she is a member of my team, and I'm not going to let her get hurt, and how much is, I fancy the air off this one?
No, well, I think at this stage, it's never leave a man behind, or a woman behind, as it is now. Jack is...
I was about to come up with a snappy comeback there. You never leave a man behind, to which my response would be, even if it's a woman.
Even if it's a woman, yeah. Yeah, I think this early on, Jack is still in his Black Ops persona.
Hang on. Sorry, can you actually make out that tractor outside?
No.
The joys of living countryside adjacent. She's going to set fire to the tent, isn't she?
She is, yep.
Well, yeah, I've destroyed
wet, damp wall.
It's just so tempting.
Well, I don't know, it's been... It looks a quite damp environment. But it's going up well.
They're not really very good at it, ever.
I paid 300 weights of gold.
Where is she staying?
Is that a lot?
Enough to buy 10 women.
How much are you willing to spend to get her back?
So now they're going to bargain for Sam, try to get her back. Because she didn't
negotiate.
Run away. Negotiate, yeah.
Remember so Jack offers him guns, doesn't he?
Eventually, yeah. I mean, right now they're attempting to going to buy her back. I don't know what their measure of weight is, but I think they get up to about 500 pieces, don't they?
Younger, fit to bear many sons. I'm starving.
Oh, for crying out loud, 500. Mughal looks at Jack. I will pay you back.
She knows the spirits of our land. They tell her when it's time to plant grain, when water will be scarce.
I'd like to see put that requisition form back into the SGC.
Yeah, I'd love to see sort of Thomas Davis, God rest him, reaction to that one.
Yeah.
You want me to sign off on what? I'm really surprised at how they got killed. The guy seemed quite passionate. He was overweight and bald. Ooh, there he goes, shooting knife.
That's it, whips out his weapon.
Mike?
Yeah. I'm going to say Mike. Mike. Comparing the size of their weapons now.
Straight up to X-ray.
Well, I'm talking about a knife and a gun.
Yeah, right.
Oh, did we just see Tilk on a horse? For about 2 yards.
For about a quarter of a second.
Second.
Here's the point. And it's something I actually read in, you know, Silhouette Man?
Yeah.
A.K.A. Andy McNabb.
Yeah.
He said, you're going through the street and you see people firing in the air. That's actually quite dangerous on a large crowd. Because a bullet doesn't achieve escape velocity.
I don't blame him either.
So it comes back down?
It comes back down with sufficient sort of acceleration due to gravity to kill someone when it hits them.
Wow. It's what they call love. I would say it depends how flat the trajectory was, wouldn't it? If it was straight up and down, it would just be gravity on a few grams of lead. I suppose, if it goes high enough, it comes coming down pretty fast.
Well, nightmares per second, so...
It's not one of them things you normally think about.
Physical
it looks good,
but...
Yeah.
But we digress.
Alright, next morning in the woodlands.
What happened? Where's Naya?
She came to me.
The youngster's back again.
She would. But before we can make our way, her
father... And he's lost the girl.
Now, if you don't help me, she will be stoned...
What's her name?
Chimaka.
Yeah, looks like a nice day as well. Blue sky peeking between the trees.
Better to have left her to marry Chimaka.
I would not see anything I cared for. Go to Chimaka.
Can I get a little clarification here? Her own father ordered her stoned to death, is that right?
Because she broke the law of the land.
Fergan is compelled to uphold the law even more if it applies to his own. He must rule by example.
We have to go back, now.
Negative.
Oh, yes, they're discussing the fact that your woman's going to die because Carter helped her escape.
Yeah.
Since when are you a politician, Colonel?
Easy, Captain.
Stay oppressive.
Dear God, did she have a hairbrush in the bottom of this?
I know what it is.
I mean, come on. Look at her hair.
Well, her kit bag looks a bit different from Jack's and Danny's. I mean, Danny's got glass cleaner and lint-free cloths, and she's got an airbrush and mousse.
It looks like it's been professionally styled. I mean, she certainly doesn't look like she's just spent a rough evening in the jungle.
And two or three days before that.
Sorry?
2 or 3 days before that, the prisoner in the camp.
Yeah. Two or three hours.
No, well,
this is the following morning.
Oh, no, but she was taken before then, wasn't she? She spent more than one evening in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she looks good, considering her ordeal.
Well, she's a character, she always looks good. Yeah, this is something, this is a mild spoiler, but this is something I feel. This series is prejudiced.
In what way?
The girls get naked, Daniel. We don't get naked, Carter. It's not fair.
Ah, but naked Daniel at least was funny.
Yeah, but does it have to keep doing it?
Well, I say if it works, wouldn't it do it again? Right, so they're going to stone the young girl.
Really?
Yep, they're going to stone her. Good old-fashioned justice. Honor killing, betrayal and all that.
Forgive me.
Because she ran away.
Defied her father. Honor thy father. That's not something you...
It's not that honor thy father and mother in this context, is it?
Not the mother, no.
But I mean, how does this episode hook into the overall mythology of Stargate? It's a little standalone-y.
It is standalone. I mean, I suppose you could argue the early episode we start to see the beginning of the SGC interfering with other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And not always for any strategic or technical benefit. I mean, this is purely because they feel they need to help this girl.
Mm.
I mean, they could have
well,
walked away.
There is an element of... What useful stuff can we bring back?
Yeah.
You know, horrible diseases aside. Case of point, the next episode.
You insult my honor by implying that I would engage in such a
I know who I'd pick to win the fight between the chiefs.
So unless nothing else was from here. Although these old guys can be tricksy.
You can't.
Yeah, no,
I suppose you could argue that he's lived that long, so he must be good.
No, that's the Conan the Barbarian argument. A lifetime's experience of not dying.
Yeah. Even if it sometimes means running away.
Ain't gotta run. I recently listened to Interesting Times. So.
They're going to remake Conan, aren't they?
Sorry?
They're going to remake Conan.
Cohen.
No, they are going to remake Conan the Barbarian.
I presume the Governator is not involved.
No, he's not.
Good.
So when your back's up against the wall... And
well, yeah. Sense, when the Governator was running, no station which aired in California could show any of his movies.
You don't think I can win?
Sure. Ah, yeah, seems reasonable.
Because if they did, they would have to give equal screen time to his running mate.
Who'd spend the whole time just doing his political broadcast and not saving damsels in distress.
And blowing things up in a Michael Bay fashion.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity. So we have the showdown now. Sam putting the dukes up. That's it. Good old fashioned fisticuffs.
Yeah, Screensby rules, what?
Yeah. to the death.
Oh, yeah, Pat Bergen does that in The Fish Called Wanda.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to box for John Cleese. Like, I used to box for Bland.
Hey, no,
Patrick Bergen does, yes. I used to kill for the CIA.
Nice. He's got good corner men, that chief has.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's ready for him.
Oh, yeah. That's not a knife.
That's a knife.
Of course he's going to cheat.
You know, I almost think that's a stunt double.
No. Because you see, you know what I'd have there purely as a tribute?
Yeah.
The fight music from Star Trek Original Series.
Yeah.
You know the music I mean?
I know the music you mean.
Ooh, she's cutting. You make me mad. You drew blood.
You don't see that very often, that a swing for the legs actually jumping over the sword.
Yes.
Look at him. He likes dishing it out, but he can't take it.
Don't give him a chance to recover. Now, you see, why not come drop it?
Carter, do not kill him.
I don't want to.
You have won. I am free to go with Abu.
I want to hear it from you.
She's free to go.
And the Sheva die?
My lord, there can be no war between us.
Hmm.
And me?
Yes, you are free.
And me?
Is Carter rubbing it in a little here? I mean, God knows she's a total too. I'd probably
bit,
just a little.
A little bit, like Mal Reynolds
like
in Firefly.
Like a very, very, very close shave.
Yeah. Just a little nick. I'm a good soldier. Well, not a bad soldier anyway. Put the boot in a couple
but
of times.
Quite dull.
Don't
accidentally injure her actor.
Oh, 6-day wedding.
I want to get hold of some of that news for my girlfriend and me. Jesus, if I can hold her for that.
But we
I'm sure she'd appreciate it. She always complained about her getting tangled.
Many
so, like, moose, strong enough to hold through a knife fight. Think about it. Get off of it. I'm going to get hate mail from any female audience members we have. This, by the way, I'm quite happy with this. This is going up unedited.
Is it?
Well,
oh.
we're swearing a bit. What?
Oh, they're all here. They're all taking off the veils.
Yeah, well, bear in mind, there might be some damn good reasons why some of them have worn veils before the
movie.
God, that. Okay, bye.
Director's probably told him, don't smile too much because you've all got two teeth are too straight.
Well, actually, that was a criticism a housemate of mine had of Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else looked authentic until they smiled.
Except for the teeth.
They had perfect teeth.
Walking off into the sunset, or lack of.
I want to see that last line from Teal'c.
Teal'c, what is an opera? Oprah.
Oh, the two are probably similar, you know, overweight women screaming. That could actually get me sued.
Oh, like I said, though, you know, when I watched that, it was a lot better than I remembered. You know, it's not a strong episode.
It's more fun laughing the way through it. And we actually stayed, I think, the odd relevant digression aside, reasonably well on topic.
Well, like you say, by watching the episode, it gives us that little framework to, you know, keep pulling ourselves back.
It didn't help with me and Scott. Maybe the episode and the transcript, so you can cross-check what was said.
Well, I think it'd help next time if I put the DVD onto my PC instead of onto the plasma. Because I'm just swinging backwards and forwards between the TV and the computer.
So you're making yourself dizzy?
It doesn't help. Although, you know, it's quite fun after a while. I've just got to be careful with the headphone lead.
Hmm.
If you hear, you know, a little gurgling, I've probably strangled myself.
I did that before, actually, when I was lying in bed chatting to herself on Skype. I had the phone still plugged in,
Yeah.
And the socket is on the right hand side, and the phone, this might be entertaining for listeners anyway, the phone is on the left, the phone is attached to my left ear, and I sat up to get something, and the cord on the charger isn't that long. So yes, folks, I have access. Be careful when chatting to people on the phone while the phone is charging if you're lying down. This helpful health and safety warning brought to you by Gatecast. And I think Mike may have accidentally unplugged his mic.
No, I'm still here. I've got this picture of you in your bed now. I really don't need it.
You realise you put it in a listener's head, and they need it either.
Either that, or I'm thinking, oh, that's what David Garradine were doing. Don't know any for that at all.
I've no idea. I don't get the reference, so.
No? No, it doesn't matter.
No. Right, now, total call length on that was 58.17. I'll see if I can get Scott to record a new. I might edit slightly. I can see if I can get Scott to record a news segment.
Yeah.
But to him pretty much as is. And thank you for listening, folks. I do intend to release weekly if I can. I think your recording schedule probably allows for it. It's just how much time. I mean, this episode, I'm happy enough with this. It's a little raw, but I'm happy enough to leave it unedited. As is. If this didn't record, I'm going to be really, really annoyed. So I'm going, okay, folks. Thank you for listening to Gatecast. I've been Alan, a.k.a. Phased Out, a.k.a. Phase, a.k.a. Yes, whatever you're drinking, and I'll have three. Mike?
Yep. I'm Mike, a.k.a. Jarek, or basically Mike from the UK, from the podcast I post to. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope we're around next time.
Okay, and again, we did get one entry to our competition last time, an intro / outro, so I'm leaving it intro and outro less for the time being, but if people want to send us stuff, admin@gatecast.com, or just email, actually your best bet, in fairness, is probably phasedup@gmail.com, phasedup@gmail.com, because it's big enough to actually accept a reasonably sized MP3, 22 kilohertz stereo for preference. And 16-bit. On that note, signing off. See you.
Bye, all. You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike. Technical support from Scott. Visit Gatecast at gatecast.co.cc.